Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in Alabama!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope for this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you shouldn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Ow.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, January 9th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. And this is another edition of Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm very unprepared tonight. I am solo. For those of you who listened to last week's show and enjoyed it, apparently Blog Talk didn't enjoy it enough because they cut me off. Oh, probably a good 45 minutes before I was actually due to be cut off. So, whatever it is, but, you know, as they do in wrestling, you go to a time limit draw, and there will be a rematch, and there will be... So, when it comes down to it, what I'm actually doing, because, you know, I milled around a bunch of ideas for what I'm going to do, you know, guest co-host-wise and stuff like that, and I'm still going to have, like, you know, guest co-hosts, but for the foreseeable future, once a month, I will be having on Yolanda, as I did last week, so she'll be back in February. And then once a month, I will also be having on Chrissy Rivera, as I had on last month. Chrissy, I think I have lined up to do the show after Royal Rumble, so the two of us will be doing the whole Rumble wrap-up, you know, the Wednesday after Rumble, and, you know, that Raw as well, because then I'll be forced to actually watch it, unlike what I did this week. Yeah, I'll get into a little Raw a little later, but not too much, because really all I watched was the end segment. I did mean to go back and catch a little bit other stuff, watch the TLC match and all that, but I never got around to it. It was just on the DVR, and I just been pretty beat all week. I finally got myself back in the gym last week, and I've just been just just doing work. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's good for me and everything, but I'm fucking beat. I don't, you know, I can't force myself for a bunch of hours of WWE when I get home because that shit is beat. So, but I'll get into a little bit about, you know, different thoughts I have and a little bit of a rant that I have on something else WWE related. So, and speaking of WWE related, from what I hear, El Generico has been signed by the WWE, which I think is a fantastic move on their part. I really, really hope they're able to utilize this guy well, because not only is he just a really, really good, you know, cruiserweight wrestler, but this guy knows how to put a match together better than most people on the indies. I don't know what Kevin Steen's going to do with himself now, because in my opinion, those are really the only good matches he has, unless he's working like, you know, like a Ricochet or somebody else small that can make him look really good. But, you know, that's just my opinion. A lot of people lick his balls. I don't see it. I think he's way, way fucking overweight, and guys like El Generico made him continue to look relevant. I think there's a big reason why every year he winds up at Final Battle wrestling who? El Generico. So it's not like he's able to trail off into a feud with somebody else and then it all, you know, comes together for him. It just seems like you go back to what works, and that's El Generico, which is, I mean, the easy answer for a lot of questions. You know, how do you make this work? How do you make that work? I mean, one of Justice Payne's best matches in CZW over all the time he was there was they put him up against El Generico. I mean, Justice Payne looked like a fucking technical genius, you know. I mean, the two of them worked so well. They did a bunch of cool shit. I think that was the first time I saw the El Generico when he was on the outside, and so you got the corner of the ring and you got Justice Payne on the one side of one corner and El Generico on the other side of the other corner. So he suicide dives. He's standing on the outside and he dives through the ropes of the ring over the corner and to the other side of the, it's really cool. I don't know if that was probably the worst possible explanation I could have given you, but if you see, you know what I'm talking about, you know, caught him and then rolled through with a DDT and shit. It was just a great spot, and like just tons and tons of stuff that he does is just so innovative. He really is able to do creative things within the ring and, you know, make everything exciting. So I hope they allow him to be him and just continue to do his shit in there. So, yeah, that's that. So congrats to him. Definitely hope he doesn't spend, you know, a year and a half in Florida, because that's just a tragedy to have that type of shit happen. I mean, they got to bring Hero up, you know. They got Ryback or From the Block Lesnar in there, you know. And Chris Hero should have been brought up before him. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. So, or Cassius Ohno, I should say. Yeah, this is probably going to be a short one. I have some stuff to talk about, a couple things to go over, but, you know, I have a few things I want to play for you guys, too. Let me start getting these out of the way, because I got one big call thing. As a matter of fact, let me go into this topic, and then I'll go off into the first thing I'm going to play for you guys. All right, I watched the new Andrew Dice Clay stand-up. It's called, like, Indestructible or something. And I thought it was really good. I mean, he came raw. He was the same dude he's always been. He hasn't done one in like 10, 12, 15 years or some shit like this. But the thing about Dice is he is to comedy what 2 Live Crew was to rap music. Being that he was the guy to face all the censors, to go head-to-head with the FCC, to head up with everybody that was trying to censor everything, to get sued, to get banned from everywhere he was going, to get banned here, to get banned from there, and end up still doing it bigger than anything, like headlining stadiums, not comedy clubs, not theaters, stadiums. Like, this motherfucker was selling stadiums out, like 60,000 people and shit, to do comedy. And you know what I mean? And back then, it wasn't okay to say the shit that he was saying. So he was really a pioneer to what he was doing. And I mean, you know, when I first got on his stuff, you know, I mean, when he was really hitting it big, 90, 91, you're talking, I was 12, 13 years old. I mean, you got your hands on one of them Dice tapes and that shit was like, you know, that was like contraband. Like, you didn't want to get caught around somebody else's parents with that, or around school, or saying anything from it, or, So, I mean, it was just the shit, you know. It was like that completely taboo comedy, like, oh my God, and like every parent thought he was just filthy and just outrageous and can't believe this guy's allowed to live. And I mean, these people were outraged with his content, you know, and it just holds up as legendary stuff. And, you know, he did his thing. He actually has sons that they have a band, and the one kid, he's badass on the drums. You see, he does this drum solo in the beginning and shit. It's crazy. He lets them open up for him. And then one of his ex-girlfriends does this, you know, stand-up bit before him to, you know, to lead him in, and then he does his joint. So he's kind of making like a family thing where he's touring like that. So, yeah, it was good shit. But, like I said, Dice did a lot more than, you know, people might give him credit for. I mean, I know, you know, the comics and, you know, people who are really, really down with comedy get it and they understand what he actually did. But you got to really think about the time that he was doing the stuff he was doing and how not cool with people it really was at the time. So, yeah, I always give much respect to that dude. And it's good to see him out there again. You know, another hour special. It's on Showtime if y'all want to check it out. I thought it was badass. So, on the topic of comedy, I'm going to play this first joint here. And I got to first off give credit to the Don Tony Kevin Castle show, because they actually played this on Monday on their show. And without me hearing it on their show, I would have never heard it. I really don't listen to like, I don't listen to like regular radio or anything like that, like terrestrial radio. I don't listen to any of that stuff. So I don't know. Maybe I would have stumbled across it in the future. Maybe I wouldn't have. But, you know, shout out to them for playing it first. It's a prank call that was done by Z104, the Morning Zoo or whatever. And apparently the premise to this was this dude, you know, he's married, and he ordered a WWE pay-per-view. And his wife walks in the room and is like, turn the shit off. I want to watch my show. And he's like, I can't turn it off. And she's like, why not? And he's like, because I paid for it. So this broke into like a whole fight between him and his wife and all this. And it turned out to this big blowout. He's never ordering that shit in his house again, paying for it. And why are you paying for this crap and all this nonsense? So he calls up the radio station and gets them to do one of their prank things on him, on her, I should say. And, this shit was hilarious, man. They get her fired the fuck up, man. So check this out. It's pretty long, but it's well worth the listen, I think. I cracked up earlier listening to this shit.
Hello?
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
Am I ready for what? Who is this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE Champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE Super Slam? Right now you can order this awesome pay-per-view event for just $59.99.
I'm sorry, no, there is not any chance in hell that we're ever going to have wrestling in this house again, but thank you, but no. Have a good day. Hello?
And goodbye to anyone standing in John Cena's way when he takes those six men in a steel cage chutes and ladders match at WWE Super Slam. Order now and save $10 with a low price of just $49.99.
Sir, you guys just called me, and as I mentioned before, we're not ordering this, so please stop calling my house. Thank you and goodbye. Hello?
Hi, can I speak to Champ?
Who?
Champ? Is Champ there?
Who is Champ?
That question will be answered this Sunday night!
Listen, hey! Hey, sir! Please quit calling my house!
The Undertaker!
Quit calling me!
CM Punk! And even Triple H and the Big Show in a spit-swapping makeout match!
Hello? Hello? Can you stop screaming in your little sirens and whatever that is? Can you knock it off for 5 seconds? Not interested. Stop calling my fucking house. Hello?
I'm watching you.
Excuse me?
That's exactly what The Undertaker told John Cena. But will he be able to take the belt from the mightiest champion in WWE history at this weekend's WWE Super
Slam? For the love of all that is stop calling my house
John
before
Cena.
I get your number. I will track you down and absolutely tear you
Ladder.
To pieces.
Do
you understand me?
It's
I know who you are. John Cena, crazy motherfucker. No wrestling, no super motherfucking slam is happening in this house. I swear to Jesus, if this is those wrestling f***s again.
Okay, good morning. Hi, I'm just calling this morning to ask if you're a supporter of the United States military.
Oh my God, I apologize. We've been getting calls all morning. I apologize, and yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, I am.
Great. Are you a supporter of the Marine Corps?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Great, because a former decorated member of the United States Marine Corps needs your support.
And his name is John C. I'm going to get in the ring and put boots down.
You?
This
are
weekend.
You kidding me right now?
WWE.
Are you kidding me right now? I can't even handle this. I cannot handle this.
Right now at a low price of only
$39.99. I can't believe you're still calling me. I'm about to lose my shit. I swear I'm about to call the police.
Hello. You have a collect call from
John Cena.
Will you accept the charges?
Oh, f*** your mother. Listen, stop calling. Is listening not your strong suit? Because screaming sure as f*** is, but you're not hearing me. Shut your f***ing beaten down brain from Super Slam and listen. I am not. I don't care if they're $59, $49, $39, or 39 f***ing cents. I don't want it. It won't happen. It's not coming on my TV again. It won't be allowed in this house. Here in this house. Not a piece of going through closets and taking out t-shirts and burning them and calling the police and telling you that you're harassing me. Stop it now. I am calling the police. Good luck to you. Have a nice day. F*** yourself. God damn what?
Hold on. Marie, this is the Z Morning Zoo radio show on Z1.
Yeah, I thought that shit was funny as hell. I was dying when I heard that shit. I love prank calls when that they kept getting her on that shit. When they tricked her up with the Marine Corps thing, she that was, I think, the last straw. Yeah, I like that shit a lot. It was funny as hell. Let me see. What do I got? I think I got cut off last week. I was talking about the CCW show that is worth absolutely nothing to me over this weekend. So I really don't have anything more to say about that. I just, because they still haven't signed anything that's worth anything to me. So I guess what that is. I do believe in February they're starting back up the Ultraviolent Underground, and they're doing them on iPay-per-view. So I think that's a really good idea. I'm looking forward to that. Next month, too, they have the anniversary show, which they botch almost every single year, so I don't ever take that as a serious event that I should be really excited about. That's kind of all I got with that. The Raw, I watched the end segment because I've seen people bugging out on the internet. I added, DVR, and I was doing other shit. And then, I fast-forwarded to the end with the Punk promo. Punk had an awesome promo. Like, the shit was off the chain. And, everybody was commenting exactly what it was, like, online. It was like, oh, man, Punk's saying what all the indie guys are thinking. Punk's, telling them like it is. Punk's really going in. He's fucking, another pipe bomb. Here it is. You know what I mean? He was really doing some good shit. So, it was like he did that, and he continued to just, rip shit apart. And, you know, even preface, like, yeah, The Rock's going to come out here and he's going to cut another one of these, like, corny fucking generic promos, you know, with a bunch of cliches. Like, the whole, just everything you would expect out of The Rock. He's just going to come out there and do that and just expect that. But I'm the one that's out here telling the truth. I mean, he was, you know, just going in on it. So, and then what did The Rock do? He came out there and he did exactly that. He just, it was just another complete corny fuck. The Rock's promos are corny as hell right now. Now, does he know how to talk? Is he, you know, one of those guys that can go out there and put the entertainment out there as far as being like a polarizing character? Of course. Of course he is. No one could take that away from him, and I don't think a lot of people are trying to. But as far as his promos right now being relevant or, you know, anything that I'm looking for, no. And I'll get further into that type of thing when I comment on somebody else's comment in a minute. But so let me see. I got to bring up my actual post so I can see exactly what I said. But yeah, I mean, and I don't know if you guys heard, but the dude is just like, he's just advertising for shit. Like, it's all he's doing. So, what the fuck did I put? Oh, yeah. I just put The Rock's promos are corny as shit. I don't care what anybody says. So then people, you know, commented this and that. A lot of people were just completely agreeing with me. And then, you know, I elaborated and I said he's like a homosexual infomercial on steroids. He mentioned Cookie Puss, Popeye, Mound, Snickers, M&M's, Milky Way, and then a lot of putting things up men's asses. And that's his whole promo. Like, in a nutshell, that's his whole promo. He name drops a whole shitload of companies. And might I add, I mean, the last time he was out there and he was feuding with John Cena, he kept Fruity Pebbles, Fruity Pebbles, Fruity Pebbles. Guess who got a fucking Fruity Pebbles fucking endorsement? John Cena. John Cena. It's clear as day that that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's just throwing fucking names of shit out there. And eventually it'll be like another, you know, half a mil or a mil in his fucking pocket because he'll be holding a fucking Snickers bar in a commercial. It's just like, it's so fucking cheap, such like cheap, shameless plugs. And then people still have the nerve to give him credit for what he's doing. Like, oh, that was such a good promo. Oh, why? Why? Because he just pulls random things out of nowhere. You look like Cookie Puss. And then he gets the crowd to chant, Cookie Puss. It's like, come on, man. You know, Iffy, the one dude, he listens to the show. And, you know, he's a soup listener and, you know, listens to a lot of these, you know, podcasts that, you know, we're friends with and everything like that. And he actually had to Google Cookie Puss to know what it was because he never heard of that shit before. Which, hey, man, I mean, it is old as hell. I mean, Carvel, there's really not even too many Carvels anymore. But, they had Fudgeeta Whale and Cookie Puss and the whole nine, you know, back then. But, again, I mean, this is like my fucking early teens and mid-teens when it was really even still going on. So, you know, in retrospect, I can't blame Iffy or anybody else who doesn't even know what the fuck The Rock is talking about. But this is how dated his fucking comedy is. Is like, he's going back to some shit that most people don't even remember. Like, now he's Cookie Puss. And then Popeye. Yeah, because Popeye is like a relevant, normal thing. You know, he says he looks like, a crackhead Popeye. So then he starts calling him Punk Eye, the crackhead. And, you know, but I don't understand, you know. Sure, I mean, to just be like, yeah, I'm a lot bigger than you, so you look like a crackhead. I get it, but he's just an HGH factory. Like, I mean, this fucking guy, the wellness policy doesn't fucking speak for anything. You know, it really doesn't. When you have a guy that comes out there and his arms are bigger than fucking the chick's waists in the fucking WWE, then, you know, let's be real. You know, and again, I mean, he is an entertaining dude. The fact that he goes there automatically brings in more money, you know, to the WWE because, you know, he is one of those guys that people are never going to forget. Stone Cold could show up with fucking 18 knee braces and fucking, you know, one of those fucking head screw things, you know, with the screws in the head neck braces.
And people would still be like, that's the baddest motherfucker in the world. Yay, Stone Cold, stun someone. Like, it wouldn't matter to anybody. That's just, like, what it is. You know, people just won't let go of the past no matter what. The Undertaker could shave his head, fucking get extensions, fucking, he could, you know, show up in drag, fucking get a sex change. And motherfuckers are still going to be like, yo, Undertaker, oh, my God, the dead man. Yes, fucking, oh, man. You know? So, Punk cutting, like, a bomb-ass promo. And then The Rock comes out and it's just like, oh, yeah, never mind. I fucking, yeah, fucking The Rock. And yet, Punk is supposed to be a heel. So, I do get that. So, now, let me pull up this other post. Just give me a minute, because I'm completely unprepared tonight, and I'm just more or less looking shit up as I go. And I'm not going to call the dude out by his name or anything like that. I will say he's a wrestler, and he's a dude that's run a company that isn't running shows anymore as of right now. You know what I mean? So I could just say that much and leave it at that. You know, not that that's like a completely obvious. A lot of people used to run companies that aren't, you know. But so it's not to shit on him, but I am going to shit on his point because I think it's ridiculous. But he posted this. I seriously can't stand the people that just shit on wrestling, no matter what happens. It's you, dot 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 you, and both of those yous are in all caps because he's yelling at this point. And then he goes, "That is killing the business. You want everything. When you get it, it's not enough. Fuck off. Stop watching wrestling so the people that actually enjoy wrestling, WWE, indies, and everything in between can do just that. Enjoy it. Fuck off. Stop talking like you know what you're talking about. You're all marks. Fuck you." You know, and then that's just, and then like someone said something else, and then he's like, if it's something you love so much, just stop shitting on it. I'm not talking about the shitty low-card match no one cares about, but when The Rock comes back to set up Mania, that's something no one should be upset about, regardless of how you feel about his ability or how relevant he was or is or will be. So I'm just like, God damn, like, this is some bitter shit. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, you can feel however you want to do it. And you could really, like, you could be as gung-ho as you want and shit. I mean, you could love the fuck out of The Rock. You wear his t-shirt, you get the Brahma Bull tattoo, you could do whatever, you know, whatever works for you, you know? I commented, my first comment was, ha-ha, and I just left it at that. And he actually liked that comment for some reason, because, I don't know. And then a chick said, "You make me giggle, you're very angry." So then he responds, "Oh, so angry," and then he, you know, put her name. And then he goes, "If you still live next door, you would have heard me screaming." Okay. So first thing I got to point out is the fact that people are talking shit online is sending this dude into physically screaming in his house. Yet he's calling people marks and stuff like that. And just like I said, my next post that I put on my wall and shit, and I didn't, like, go at nobody or tag anybody. And I don't really think that he was targeting me for what I had said earlier, because I'm sure a lot of people were saying a lot of things. But those type of things trigger. So anyway, I responded like this. "It's funny to me how wrestling is one form of entertainment, that members of it get so bitter that they decide fans should no longer have an opinion. No criticism, unless it's positive. But keep supporting us. Give us your money and shut up." I love wrestling as I do other forms of entertainment. But while I will praise the things, while I will praise the large amount of stuff I love, I will also bury the shit I don't like. It's my right. And hey, maybe stuff I don't like is perfect for someone else. And that's fine. All I can do is offer my opinion. I'll never stop doing that. I don't think an earlier post was aimed at me, but I'm often triggered into these types of rants by the generic supported and shut up or you know nothing statements. Like, and I said also, these are the same people
that will take all the positive criticism as if the fans absolutely know what they're talking about. Like it or not, all entertainment comes with criticism, but it's hard to handle on that end, I guess. It's just funny stuff to me. And that's kind of how I put it, because this is how I feel. This people get bitter within the wrestling business, and then they just start going on that fucking, you don't know shit. Like, okay, just imagine you support a band or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? So just say, like, you're a Metallica fan, right? And then they come out with one album you don't like. And fucking, you know, you post some shit or you say some shit like, man, you know, that album is shit, man. It's not the type of shit I'm used to. And then fucking the members of Metallica bug out and go, if you don't like it, go make some fucking music. Don't listen to any music if you don't fucking like what you just heard. Don't say anything negative because you don't know how to fucking play the music. Like, wow, you sound like a douchebag. Like, I don't understand the mentality where, like, people just get to go, listen. Nobody's calling themselves wrestlers or saying, I could go in there and do better than The Rock. Like, I don't, that's not the statement that people are making as far as I know. People will comment what they do and they don't like on their TV. It might be exactly what you like, and it might be the opposite of what you like. But just because you're involved in the wrestling business doesn't mean you get to go out and be like, you're not allowed to complain because you don't know how to run a company and you haven't been in a ring. You haven't... Shut the fuck up, you bitter motherfucker. Like, okay, again, go to a restaurant. You keep getting the same meal and shit. Now you start telling other people. They all come. The next thing you do, you try something else. And you're like, man, this is shit, man. Like, this shit is half cooked and whatever. And you tell, like, the waiter, like, hey, man, you know, I really like the food here for the most part, but This is really horrible. I don't know what happened or, you know, what's going on. And the chef comes flying out of the kitchen. Go in there and cook it yourself or shut the fuck up. Like, the business doesn't work that way. And if the people, especially people who have run wrestling companies, are on the mind state that everyone who doesn't like something should just stop watching altogether, maybe that's why you're not running shows anymore. Maybe some of this contributes to the companies going down. You swear that people's negative criticism is the reason why wrestling is dying, or which I never believed that for a second, or why it's killing the business? No. I think maybe the people in the business who get so butthurt over negative criticism throw their hands in the air and give up, or take it so far to heart that they have to go so far in the other direction to show the fans that they're the boss or they're in charge. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the egos, even on the smallest level of the independent wrestling business, they have such an issue with someone talking about wrestling at the highest level of the wrestling business, somewhere that they'll never be involved with. But God forbid some random fan says something bad about the people up top. Them, way down low, get to go, everybody stop watching wrestling because I'm tired of hearing your mouths. Like, there's something wrong with your brain. That's not like a normal way of thinking. You know, I mean, there's going to be negative criticism. It doesn't matter whether you're in music, whether you make movies, whether you fucking dance, you want it in Broadway, motherfuckers, whatever it is, comedians, anything. Criticism comes with entertainment. That's what it is. And a lot of good entertainers will tell you, we don't get better without criticism, negative and positive, because how do we know how to better our product without negative criticism? If everybody is just yes, 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 nothing changes, nothing advances, nothing gets better. That's not to say that you just need to go out there and shit on everything you can because you're really doing a great job for the business. I'm not saying that. But if you don't like something, you don't fucking like something. You're supposed to be like, oh, well, there's a bright side, and I'll just make sure that I don't say nothing because I don't want anyone to be offended that's not anywhere near that level and never will be. But they might get angry because I'm talking about wrestling because I don't like what I'm seeing right now, but I can't tell them because they'll be mad. Like, what the fuck kind of mentality is this? I cannot understand that. And it's only the bitter motherfuckers that come out on those fucking rants. They really do. They do it all the time. You know, I've pointed this shit out in the past. I've had the same argument before. I've had the same fucking rant to, you know, smaller extents or whatever. But this happens all the time. You'll get a wrestler or promoter or somebody on the internet, and every one of them, they'll post that generic shit.
If you don't know what it's like to be in the ring, you don't know what it's like to run a company, then shut your fucking mouth and pay for your ticket.
Like, that's an awesome flyer. I don't know why the flyers don't say that more often, because that sounds like a real draw.
Shut up and fucking give me your money. Like,
all right, buddy. You're going to be wrestling a lot of those empty gym matches where they have, the empty arena matches. But they won't be arenas. They won't be arenas at all. They'll be gyms. You know? And this is just the most ridiculous way of thinking to me. I mean, there's people that no matter what the fans say, they go out there and just bust their ass and just nonstop. And then eventually when the respect comes around, that's it, you know? I mean, you're going to get douchebag fans that just completely bash and just bash and bash and bash. Well, I mean, if you want to spend your life arguing with them, you can. But some of them are just doing it to do it. And, you know, maybe you're frustrated because of that. But, I mean, I think there's enough legitimate wrestling fans that you can see, hey, man, well, this guy's a wrestling fan. He obviously continues to watch it. He continues to support it. But, oh, man, he just doesn't like The Rock, or he just doesn't like this, or he just doesn't like that. But he really does like this. He really does like that. Oh, but on my hand, I'm more into this guy, or I'm more into this style of wrestling. That's what it is. Like, to be a person within the business and still not even get that is the most retarded point of logic that I could possibly think. I think playing devil's advocate to things and being able to see both sides of a coin is something that's a must if you're going to succeed at anything. Because one-track-minded, you know, no matter what track it is, whether it's, you know, the negative, the positive, the left or the right, all these things have to come together at some point for you to weigh your options and come up with the best idea to make money. If you just go out there and be like, I don't care because you're not going to like it either way, and then the people who do, that's the only people I care about. Like I said, the same person that has something negative to say today, if they came up to you tomorrow and said something positive, you wouldn't treat them like they don't know shit because they don't do it. You'd be like, oh, thank you so much. If someone said, hey, you're the best at running fucking wrestling promotions that I've ever seen. Something about what you do out there is, you know, you seem to know how to do this, or you seem to know how to do that. You wouldn't go, you don't know how I know how to do anything. How do you know that I'm doing it right? You don't fucking run shit. How do you know I'm doing it right? Could you go in there and do it right? No one questions a motherfucking person that says anything positive. But as soon as anything negative comes out of someone's mouth, that's the first motherfuckers to pipe up and be like, you don't know shit. Shut up and sit down. Wow. And like I said, I really don't think by any stretch of the imagination that my comments about The Rock's promos being corny these days, because they are fucking fruit booty, this, that, put this in your ass, and, you know, fucking Snickers, Milky Way, fucking candy bar, fucking Popeye, Cookie Puss, like this motherfucker shopping for a kid's party, a homosexual kid's party, because then he wants to put something in people's assholes. And it's, I don't know, it doesn't appeal to me. I mean, you know, so like a perverted ice cream man and shit, like he's just shouting out a bunch of desserts and then he wants to put something in someone's ass. Like that's just not my, I don't know. I mean, it was funny, you know, in the mid 90s and shit when he came out with the same exact shtick. I mean, it was funny then. This shit got old even with him disappearing for all that time. People like to live off nostalgia. They don't want to let shit go. Hey, if he pops up every 5 years and candy and ass plays is what does it for you, then have at it, man. Yeah, I mean, to each their own. But I can't understand that mentality. So that's my little rant there. Anyway, I wanted to play two tracks. I think I had three tracks. But I want to play two tracks, and it's kind of like the continuation of this beef between Meek Mill and Cassidy. And this Meek Mill track goes in, and next Cassidy track, he plays it real real confident. Yeah, I mean, he talks a lot of, you know, this and that. Cassidy is yet to go in on it. So he's going to, believe me. I'm going to play the Meek Mill track first.
We're going to knock this right out.
Let's do this one for the street.
We're going to skate the one song. And what is our only
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Controversy sound.
Really?
fucking kind of style. Get the jig on.
Between this and that, I do want to get into football. Amazing. Last Saturday, I did a show with the dudes from the Sports Den, and I had a lot of fun with that. We covered pretty much everything. It's kind of all over the place. Saturday nights, I'm fucking scrambled, so you know. We definitely covered a lot of it. I know these dudes filled in a lot of the holes that I might have missed. But what ended up happening, you know, over the wild card games is as the sum of it, because it was Saturday night, so we had one in the books already, and then the other one was going in there as is, which was the Texans beating the Bengals on early Saturday, and then Saturday night, the Packers beating the Vikings. Now, the thing about this Packers-Vikings game, Joe Webb couldn't throw the ball for shit. Somehow he got off 180 yards. I don't know how that is at all, because he showed no passing presence whatsoever. It allowed the Packers to completely take them apart. Packers still only won 24-10. We're not talking about really like a huge blowout. I mean, that's not – 14 points is not like an unbelievable offensive fucking blast. Like, just settle down with that shit. I mean – Aaron Rodgers fucking 23 for 33 with one passing touchdown is not a beat all day. So, you know, some of these Packer fans are out of their fucking mind. I'm going to address one in specific in just a minute. But so that shit, that is nothing compared to what's going to happen next week. It's just not. I mean, that's the Packers got that win. Believe me. If fucking dude was in that game, I really don't think their starter was in that game, you were not getting past Minnesota. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Minnesota put up 400 and I think 405 or some shit in rushing yards on two games against them during the season. There's nothing to change during the playoffs other than them having no passing game to mix it up. So then Peterson comes off with 99 yards. That's not like him, and it's because you can easily target the run when there's no passing option. It was just rush, 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 like just pass rush all day long. And then what can you do? There's nothing you can do to stop those guys coming in the backfield when you can't get the ball out of the backfield. You can't throw over the middle. You can't, you know, throw a bomb over the top when you don't have a bomb. There's no bomb. Like, you're armless. I mean, the dude is fucking horrific. Like, there's no way Joe Webb's going to have a job next year there. There's no way. Because as a backup, he looked like complete shit. So, you know, three turnovers, the whole nine. Like, dude, get the fuck out of here. So, anyway, on Sunday, Ray Lewis and the Colts went in there and beat the Ray Lewis and the Ravens went in there and beat the Colts. 24-9. Man, Ray Lewis was fired the fuck up. And, you know, that's the last game he'll be playing at home. And he went in there and represented. I mean, they were definitely fired up. They played a game out there. Indianapolis, man, they win one game last year. They got to be proud of their efforts. They really do. Finish the season 11-5. Go out there, whatever. You lose first round, but, dude, that is an unbelievable bounce back, you know? I mean, we went like 500 and a little less than 500 so many years in a row, like, you know, after the Steve Young era and stuff like that, with Elvis Gerback and all this other bullshit, and, you know, Kevin Barlow at running back. I mean, we went through so many different phases, so many coaches, so many offensive coordinators, so many different looks. And we were just staying the same, just really stayed in the medium ground, didn't make any huge progress. I mean, these guys went from horrible to playoffs, I mean, in one season. So, I mean, you got to be happy with that as a Colts fan. I would if I was a Colts fan. So it sucks to lose one, you know, one way or another. But I know even last year when we became, you know, I don't take losses well. But when we became competitors last year, I was – you know, thrilled to be in that position to even be a competitor after all those years of being horrible and people going, yeah, this is that fucking defense right here, yo. They got some shit, and we damn fucking sure do. So, you know, quarterback controversy switches things up a little bit this year. But our weapons there, our weapons are all there, you know. Next game, you had the Seahawks beat the Redskins 24-14. Man, this shit is sad, man, because fucking RG3 would have won this game. If it was a healthy RG3, they went up in this game early. I think it was like 14-0. Yeah, 14-0 in the first quarter. They started banging RG3 up. They kept him in. The dude was starting to hurt. They kept him in against a pass-rushing defense, you know, and it fucked his shit right up, man. He tore, like, all sorts of shit. I don't have it up on the screen right now, but tore, you know, ACL, the whole fucking, pretty much the Adrian Peterson injury. And, you know, he was fucked up in the game. By the time they actually put Cousins in, he wasn't worth shit. So, it's a shame, you know. They deserved a better shot at that. Hopefully now fucking RG3, you know, with everything he came in with this year, horrible coaching decisions to keep him in the game when he was hurt, you know, is now forcing him to be that type of comeback player that Adrian Peterson was next year. And that sucks, you know. This dude got, like, this tremendous knee surgery in his rookie year. That's, you know, that's some beat shit for his future. So, it is what it is, though. You know, Seahawks came out with the win. And, yeah, that brings us to next week. Well, this week, as we should call it, that's more accurate. You got the Saturday games. You got the Ravens at the Broncos, and this is going to be a good one. You know, especially if that Baltimore defense remains fired up. I mean, if they stay. If they stay that fired up on defense and they're up against Peyton Manning, you're going to be looking at a real, real scrappy game. Peyton Manning can throw the ball and manage that offense around that defense better than anybody else. I mean, it's just, I mean, he's a general. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to be dealing with him all day. So, if Baltimore's defense could step up, I mean, shit. I don't know, but, I mean, we will have to see. Time will tell, blah, blah, blah. Fucking Saturday. Let me see, where's my joint? All right, so. I got to cut down on these clips next week. I really do. I just leave shit up there forever, and then I have, like, a million things to scroll through. So anyway, we got Green Bay traveling to
San Francisco
to play my boys. The Packers are not that impressive. In my opinion, they're not that impressive. I was rooting for the Packers to play us this week. Dead ass serious. Ask anybody around me. I wanted the Packers. And, you know, when it came down to who was going to play who, when they narrowed it down, all that, I wanted the Packers. Like, the Packers had to win. If the Packers won, we would play them. If the Packers lost, then I wanted the Redskins to win because then we would play the Redskins because I think we could handle them. I really don't want to play Seattle again right now. You know, they're a tough team. I believe, honestly, if our defense plays a top ability, we're capable of beating anybody. But when you're looking at your roughest matches, you're going to look at your Seattles right now. Minnesota, when they were firing strong, yes. But now Minnesota with a Joe Webb in there, we would take that apart. Atlanta's an unknown. I mean, I really don't know what the look is going to be against Atlanta because we haven't seen them yet. But again, our defense at full capabilities, you're just not fucking with them. You're just not fucking with them. So this is what we're gonna. This is what we're gonna see. So now, it's fucking retard. The Delaware assassin, J.D. Good. He's a Packer fan. He's one of them Packers. So he makes a video talking shit about our 49ers season is over and on Saturday. and da 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 da, and then he goes, y'all only got three good players, and that's Kaepernick, Gore, and Davis, because Randy Moss sucks. At which point, I let him finish talking, and then I just made my comment saying, only three good players, you're a retard. And I couldn't be more serious about that statement. I really couldn't. We have a league-high 9 players going into the Pro Bowl. And guess who's not one of them? Colin Kaepernick. So if you're really going to ignore our defense and say we only have 3 good players and name our second-year quarterback as one of them, you're a fucking retard. And then you're talking about your fucking you know, your juiced up Brett Michaels looking motherfucker is going to destroy our offense. First off, apparently you don't understand that your quarterback is the most sacked quarterback in the league. Not only that, Aldon Smith, another second year player that apparently you don't know about, led the NFC in sacks this year. He missed breaking the all time sack record by 3 sacks, you know, for a season. J.J. Watt actually had one more sack over there in the AFC. But you're looking at a second-year player who's a sack machine, and your quarterback's the most sacked in the league. There's a reason why you didn't beat us week one in your house. So it's funny that people would have that mentality and stuff like that. And I can't wait. I can't wait until this fucking game. I'm going to be a monster that night. I swear to God, this is going to be so much fun. I'm going to bask in this shit. And hey, man, honestly, it's funny because when people make statements like that, even if they win, they're still wrong. Because to be like, y'all only have 3 good players, like, you're already completely wrong. You're not allowed to talk to me anymore because you don't know shit about football. Just like when Floyd Mayweather fucking told Larry Merchant, you don't know shit about boxing. I'm going to let you go talk to the other motherfucker because you don't know shit about boxing. Like, that's how I feel like talking to this dude. Like, you don't even get to talk to me anymore. I'm going to let you go talk to that other motherfucker over there because you don't know shit about football. You don't know shit about football, son. You might have a couple jerseys and hats and fucking you like the Packers and all that bullshit. But in between all the other ridiculous videos you fucking make about all these other fucking topics, that's one more ridiculous video that you made. And I laugh my ass off that dumb shit. Fuck out of here. So, anyway, know who the fuck I got in that game. I think the Broncos are going to win that other game, by the way. Then you got the Seahawks at the Falcons. This is going to be tough. I seen a meme earlier that someone put the two logos and they're like, not sure if it's the playoffs or Angry Birds and shit. So like, that's funny. But, I don't know. You know, the Falcons at home, it's going to be tough. The Seahawks know how to play tough, though. I mean, they know how to play hard-hitting football. So, I mean, the Falcons are 7-1 at home, you know, during the season, so they're definitely a good home team. And the Seahawks are only 3-5 away. I mean, their strongest games were at home. They went undefeated at home. So, I mean, that's badass. But, I mean, this is in Atlanta. I'm going to have to go with Atlanta on this one. And just also, you know, just because of favoritism, we get past the Packers. I'd rather see the Falcons, honestly. The Seahawks just kind of have that spark, have that really going defense. I'm not, for whatever reason, I'm not scared of the Falcons. And maybe I should be. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just more anxious to play those guys because it's an unknown rather than the third time of playing the Seahawks. But, again, it's the rubber match. It's going to be in our house. So, either way, like, it'll be all right. I mean, the only time that we're going to be away is if we play the Falcons. So, I'm really willing to take on whatever we get out of that. We get past the Packers. You know, we'll take it from there and stuff and see what goes on. That's my focus right now is the Packers. You know, again, this other jerk off, he's on the fucking video going, first we beat the Niners and then they're gone and then we beat the Falcons. No, then we beat the Seahawks because they're going to beat the Falcons and then they got to come to Green Bay and it's cold. And it's like, dog, you still got a game to play. So anyway, then you got that. Like I said, I'm going to go with the Falcons on that. then you got the Texans at the Patriots. And, I mean, the Patriots embarrassed them the last time. Patriots are kind of no joke in the playoffs. I don't think the Texans are looking that strong down this final stretch. I really don't. You got 2-12-4 teams, but you got the notorious Tom Brady in the playoffs shit going on now. So I got to go with the Pats. I got to go with the Pats. And it's going to end up being fucking Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady in the AFC Championship. What's fucking with that, right? So, yeah, that's that. I think I just got like a little bit more bullshit to talk about. Barely anything. Fuck it. Let me just go into this real quick, and then I'm going to wrap it. This is going to be a short show. I don't have like a whole, you know, large week of football to go into. It's pretty much just these, you know, these four games and what happened last week and all that. And then, next week, you know, I'll probably come back, have a guest host or something, or what have you. I'd imagine. I'll see what's up. I'm definitely going to plan some shit, get something together for next week. What else is coming up? I thought I had something pulled here. Where'd that go? Oh, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. There we go. Yeah, the DDT tournament is this Saturday. And the first round lines up like this. The Briscoe brothers of Jay and Mark Briscoe versus Willie Mack and Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen, which was originally Kevin Steen and El Generico. So maybe the signing actually came a little bit earlier and he was pulled off of that due to that. I'm not really positive on that, but I had known he was pulled off, and then a couple days later, it's like, oh, he was signed. So that might have been the reason to begin with. You know, I'm not really sure, but like I said, that's your first round, first match. Then you got the Dojo Bros of Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong against Future Shock of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. You got the Inner City Machine Guns of Ricochet and Rich Swann versus the Young Bucks of Matt and Nick Jackson. And then you got the Unbreakable Fucking Machines of Brian Cage and Michael Elgin versus the Super Smash Brothers of Player Uno and Stupefied. And then in non-tournament action, the second match in a best-of-three series, the winner of the series earning a shot at the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Championship, is a knockout or submission match only, Sami Callihan versus Drake Younger. And in the series so far, Sammy's up 1-0. So that'll be another bang-out match. Two of them definitely no strangers to each other. You know, hour-long match in CZW, you know, 2 out of 3 falls match in CZW. They had that match over there in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Yeah, they're going to continue to tear it up, I'm sure. And then, you check that out. I mean, I really wish those guys would start putting on eye pay-per-views, because I would really get all of them. I would definitely be, locked in for all of these eye pay-per-views. I think that's actually all I got. I was just like about the shortest show I've done. Fuck it. I'm going to play that Cassidy joint, take you out on that note, and then I'll see you motherfuckers next week. Let me just find the shit. Oh, there it is. All right, yeah, I'm going to play this track, and then call it a night. See you motherfuckers next week.
Superstar J, let's get it in.
Superstar J, hitting the P.I.
Yep. So it's 2 shots
of
story.
Did it big, no pun intended. You always be dope, and I hope you don't get offended. But you need to drop a hot record and stay consistent.
I am, yo, listen, I slaughter my competition. I just ain't on the radio, cause I ain't ass kissing.
Cash, you know you sick, man.
I be talking slick.
I'm just talking shit, but yo, when the last time you talked to Swiss?
A long time ago.
But you don't get along with him?
Nah, it's all love.
Well, you need to do a song with him.
I don't know what's wrong with him, but we don't never speak.
You got hot bars, you just need to get some better beats. Y'all put plaques on the wall a couple times, but life goes on.
Hold on, my other line.
me your cash. These niggas getting me mad. They think you fell off. You need to get in your bag. I'm about to spaz. These niggas get on my nerves because they not showing you the respect that you deserve. That's my word. You've been spitting the truth. Nothing but punchlines every time you get in the booth. You spit some hot shit on the track and it's a wrap.
You already know, but yo, I'ma hit you back. Yo, boy.
Hey, yo, what's crackin', pimp? You was snappin', pimp. But I don't know what happened, pimp. Shit changed. You ain't been the same since the accident.
Man, you said I was the best.
But now I ain't that convinced. You need to get back with Swiss and make platinum hits. You ain't drop an album in a while. You the problem, child.
Chill. Yeah, I'm still a problem, but I'm not a child.
I ain't trying to hate, but why you make that song condom style?
Too many people got infected. You gotta protect it. And I cannot neglect it. Somebody gotta address it. It's a positive message.
But I don't think it was hot.
Whether you think it's hot or not, you gotta respect it. You mad that I'm not talking reckless? I dropped a record and got an endorsement deal, so I'm not affected.
You had more metaphors before I got arrested, but I'm glad you doing business.
Hold on for a minute. Talk to
hey,
me.
Yo, Cass, these niggas getting me mad. They think you fell off. You need to get in your bag. I'm about to spaz. These niggas get on my nerves because they not showing you the respect that you deserve. That's my word, you've been spitting the truth. Nothing but punchlines every time you get in the booth. Yeah. You spit some hot shit on the track, then it's a wrap.
Yo, I heard you the other time, I'm on the other line. Yo, bro.
Yo, I'm still here, peak this. I'm still in the street shit, I need to hear some street shit.
I'm spitting fire, I'm getting tired of all this weak shit.
Me too, but what you gonna do about this meat shit?
He said he wanna battle niggas. But when I took him up on his offer, he started to reconsider.
That cat's lame. On every song, he rap the same. That cat changed. He got a deal and don't act the same.
That nigga wildin' because he sold a couple hundred thousand. But I sold triple what that nigga sold my first album.
He not selling because that nigga can't stop yelling. He know we can't fuck with you. That nigga look up to you.
They ain't nothing new I raised, son. I was around when that clown couldn't even get his braids done.
Why you drop that I'm a bullshit?
Cause his boss say he a bow, and he just on his boss dick. I usually don't get mad, but I had enough. When he dropped that song, amen, that was blasphemous.
He should praise his heavenly father, the creator.
Yeah, so I forgot plugs. Shout out to my dudes over there at the Wrestling Soup. They took off last week, but they will be back tomorrow night, 10:15, WrestlingSoup.com. Check them out. I believe shortly or right now, the Sports Den will be open. You can check them out over at Ustream. And definitely check out Women Love Wrestling. They're, I think, on a different thing. I think they're recording their shows now. So you could definitely just check them out on iTunes. It's another blogtalkradio.com/WLW. I think that's how they go. But again, check out the Facebook page, Women Love Wrestling, and you know, you'll find it there. My dude over there at the Stern Nation, Andrew Carluck and Steph, they do the Stern show. Stern's back this week, so I'm sure they're gonna have a lot to talk about. And actually came back late last week. Sure, they're gonna have a lot to talk about and get into. And I do believe right coming up, Andrew's gonna be going to the Ronnie Block party over in Atlantic City. So he's gonna be all hyped up to talk about a lot of Stern stuff. And you know, within the next 2 weeks, you're gonna hear a lot of fresh content. So definitely check them out. They always do a good job. Two Moms One Show on Tuesday. They came back this week, and they'll be back again next week. So check them out, and check me out. Oh, check out the Shiznet with Yolanda. She's doing her joint tomorrow night. Check her out. I think she took off last week, too. And they'll be back tomorrow night doing their thing. And, yeah, check me out again next Wednesday. I'll be back then. So, yeah, I wanted to end with a track, so... Maybe I'll let me see. Let me see what I got going. See, this is I'll be fucking shit up because I was spun because I didn't expect to be ending my show so early because it's early and I don't know. I just ran low on content this week, so I'm gonna have to take a lot of notes. Watch full actual shows. As I said, I was just beat this week, and honestly, like what I did with myself in the gym and shit, it's a million times better than if I would have just spent a whole bunch more hours, you know, doing this and, you know, doing that and just trying to watch shit to get content. So I apologize for that, but it actually really, really benefits me to do what I'm doing. So I'm going to keep doing that, but I'll be a little more adjusted to it next week, I think, and be able to give y'all more content. All right, yeah, fuck it. Here's another track, and then I'm out.
You wish that I would die. Don't want me alive. Tell me, who am I? I wonder why I'm such a nice guy. Who the fuck am I? Every time I dress fly, you hate my suit and tie. Tell me, who am I? Every time I kick a rhyme, you criticize. Who the fuck am I? Dear hater, you, yeah, hater. Why you still hating on me years later? Y'all can't tell me nothing. Damn haters, I don't speak hater language. Get a translator. I'm in the hood cause I'm hood fly as a Rolls Royce. You in the hood cause you ain't got no fucking choice. And if you ain't a pussy, why you so fucking moist? You weak, jealous motherfucker, puppy boy. You know them haters who smiling but really mad at your fatty. Every time you get something new, they say they had it already. Fans that hate, but they really slow. Try to tell them something they say they already know. But they don't really know, they just act like it. Why you ain't hit the lotto if you so fucking psychic? You wish that I would die. Don't want me alive. Tell me, who am I? I wonder why I'm such a nice guy. Who the fuck am I? Every time I dress fly, you hate my suit and tie. Tell me, who am I? Every time I kick a rhyme, you criticize. Who the fuck am I? I was around the way with my mans on the corner, standing up straight in my stance. This girl pulled up around the way in a van. She jumped out, started shaking my hand. She said, out of all of the Brooklyn rappers, you my favorite, man. I said, thank you. You my favorite fan. This other rapper heard I'm taking his fans. He gotta do something about it. He taking a stand. Disconnected from the link, straight away from the land. Cause he was the weakest link on the chain of command. Twitter just came out, had a dangerous plan. He started a chain of hate, so they hate on your man. When he hated, you coming after. You connecting yourself to a long chain of hate that started with another rapper. Twitter monkey, you not a loner, you a borrower. Far from a leader, now I see why they call them followers. Hating is a sickness. Get well soon. Most hated alive, boy. You wish that I would die. Don't want me alive. Tell me, who am I?
Most hated alive.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over.